Right, so you can see this is our new sermon series for spring this year. Building Project 2.0, Church Growth with Guidance from Joshua chapters 1 through 12. We're aiming for growth in 2019. Those of you who are regulars here will know that in 2018, we spent the whole year praying for growth. We've been praying for two kinds of growth. Spiritual growth, we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also salvation growth. We want people to be saved, to become Christians, to become part of this faith family here. And as elders, as we've been discussing growth, we're putting together, with God's help, a growth strategy plan. And as we've been discussing that, one of the elders, I think it was Mark, said, hey, this is like building Project 2.0. Somewhere around 5 years ago, Argyle embarked on a massive building project, a huge refurbishment and extension of this building. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a wonderful building. Very privileged to inherit that as I've come here. But now we're on a second building project, this aim for growth, for spiritual and salvation growth. And we're going to go into the year continuing to pray about it, but we're going to be thinking more about what we're going to do about it. And just like the Israelites were preparing to go into the land that God had promised, there would be challenges ahead and difficulties, and it was a new chapter for them. There will be challenges ahead for us. There will definitely be difficulties. If we're saying, yes, we want to grow, that catches Satan's attention. It is a new chapter for us. And so I thought it'd be helpful for us to study these first 12 chapters from Joshua and see what principles we can take from them and apply to ourselves. But we're going to start off with Numbers 13, because really that's where Joshua starts. That's the introduction to Joshua, the prequel, if you like. They're just about to go into the land, but they're doing some reconnaissance. They're doing some seeing. They're going to find out what the land is like. So I've called this sermon, based on Numbers 13, Bring It On 2019. I wonder whether you've ever seen someone who's full of confidence, maybe an athlete, maybe they're facing a really big competition, the most important of their lives, or maybe a really difficult competitor, and there's the pre-match interview, and the interviewer kind of says to them, so you've got this huge match or this whatever ahead of you, how are you feeling, are you nervous? And they're like, not at all, I'm ready, bring it on. Or maybe you've seen like a kung fu film or something, and you come to the final climactic fight scene, and the hero is facing this gigantic warrior, but he's full of confidence, and he kind of says, bring it on, like that. I'm going to show you, from Numbers 13, how we can have that same kind of confidence as we face 2019, whatever difficulties or challenges it brings. And it's all to do with what we see. What do you see? I'm going to show you a couple of pictures and let's see what we see. Take a good look. What do you see? Have a look for a few moments. What do you see? Do you see an old woman and an old man facing each other? Or do you see two people listening to a man playing the guitar? What do you see? It's interesting, isn't it, how maybe we see one, maybe we see the other, or maybe someone sees both. What about this one? What do you see? Have a look. Or maybe as you see, what do you see first? Do you see, as you look at that image, a tree? Or do you see a gorilla? Or perhaps you see a lioness? Or maybe when you looked at that image, you saw some fish. It's interesting, isn't it, how we see different things often when we look at the same thing. I'm going to show you a short video now to test how accurately you see, how much you take in when you see. The instructions for you are within the video. Some of you saw the gorilla. Some of you didn't. Some of you got 15, some of you didn't. It's interesting, isn't it, how we see different things when we see the same thing. And it's interesting too, isn't it, how we can miss obvious things because we're not seeing the right things, perhaps. Numbers 13 is all about seeing. And we find out that different people saw very different things. So let's dive into the passage now. So Moses sends them out to explore Canaan. And he says to them in verse 18, see. That's his command. Go and see. See what's ahead. See what lies in the future. In other words, see what awaits us. See what land that God has promised us. See what our future residence is going to be like. So they go out and they explore. And they spend 40 days seeing. And they get some grapes and pomegranates and figs and so on. And they come back. And they give a report. And they acknowledge the land is good. It's very good. It flows with milk and honey. It's a great land. But there's a but. In verse 28. But. And what did they see? Why was that but there? They saw the descendants of Anak. Anak means neck in Hebrew. And the Anak people, the Anakim or the Anakites, were famous for their great height. So what they saw was tall, powerful, foreboding, scary people. That's what they predominantly saw when they went into the land. They saw enemies. They saw threat. They saw menace. They saw peril and death waiting for them there. It's interesting in Deuteronomy when Moses is recounting all of this, you can almost hear the panic in their voices. The people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large. The walls are up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. They're really freaked out. They're really panicked. And there it is again. What did they see? They saw insurmountable problems, impossible situations, insanely tall people, impregnable fortresses. Those were the things that filled their vision. But we are introduced to Caleb. And Caleb's different, isn't he? He's confident, verse 30. We should go up. We certainly can do it. But where he's confident, they're so fearful. Verse 32, the land devours all who live there. And they kind of start to exaggerate a bit, I think. They mention the Nephilim. We're not quite sure whether Nephilim, this race of giants and warriors, whether they still were around then. But they've moved into not just saying what they thought. They're trying to persuade the people. We definitely shouldn't do what God has built up Israel to do. No, they're really scared. And again, we see verse 32. We saw, and again, verse 33, we saw giants, and we're grasshoppers. They saw impossibility. They saw annihilation waiting for them. But Caleb, what did Caleb see? He saw God. He saw God's power going before them into Canaan. He saw possibility because he saw God, and he gained confidence, that bring it on confidence. He was like, we can do this. Bring it on, Canaan. I don't care if there are giants and walls going up to the sky. Because we've got God with us, we can do this. What a contrast between Caleb and the 11 others. They saw giants, death waiting for them. But Caleb saw a green light. He was like, we can do this. We absolutely can. Come on, we can do it. We certainly can. I want to ask you, on this first Sunday of 2019, what do you see? What do you see as you face your year, your pathway through 2019? What do you see, and what effect is that having on you as you contemplate your future? Do you see problems? Is your vision filled? Oh, there's bound to be setbacks. Do you see hornet's nests? Do you see impossibilities awaiting you? I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to do that. Phil and Carolina, what do you see? 2019 is going to be a new chapter for you in Brazil. What do you see? How do you feel about what you see? What awaits you? A life in ministry? And those of us here at Argyle, what do we see as we look to the future this year as we aim for growth? Do we think, oh, it's impossible? No, it's just too difficult. Do we see bleakness or do we see brightness? Do we see problems abounding or do we see God with us, helping us? Are we like Caleb on the one hand or are we like the 11 on the other? What do we see? I just want to run through quickly some Bible characters who saw. Some saw God straight away and that gave them massive confidence. Some didn't quite see God, but then they did. David, what did he see? He saw God towering over Goliath. Everyone else saw Goliath towering over them. But he was so confident because he knew that God was with him. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. He knew that God would go with him. And that's why he said to Goliath, bring it on, Goliath. I'm ready for you because God's going to help me. What about Elisha's servant? Do you remember that? He saw this massive army and he was so scared. But then he saw God's army. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. Suddenly realized because his eyes were open that God was with them. They could do this now. Peter, he saw Jesus, didn't he? But then what did he see? The wind. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Took his eyes off God. Or what about Job? He saw trouble, trouble, trouble. Doubt, doubt, doubt. What's God doing? What's God doing? But then, eventually, after 40 chapters, he saw God's power and knowledge and was reassured by that and amazed by that. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. These people saw God, and of course Caleb as well. He saw God going ahead of them. He knew that God would be with them, and he gained that confidence so that he could say, even though all those elected, peer pressure is difficult, isn't it? To stand up when everyone else is saying, no, 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 dangerous, dangerous. He had that confidence day, yes, 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 we certainly can do it. I want to finish off by sharing with you how we, as a church, and how all of us individually, can face 2019 with confidence. And I want to draw some lessons from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 to 31. First of all, don't be terrified. God says, do not be terrified, do not be afraid. Sometimes we see a difficulty on the horizon and we're filled with terror and we start to panic. But know yourself. As you go into 2019, detect when that's happening to you because panic causes paralysis. We can't get anywhere if we've always been overtaken by terror. Be aware of when that's starting to happen and stop yourself and calm yourself. And then talk to yourself. Ask yourself this question, what exactly is it that I'm afraid of here? And then answer yourself verbally. Name your fear. Make yourself hear it out loud. Face it. Because often when we do that, it's not as bad as we think. But when we kind of articulate it, we can then bring it to God. I'm feeling fearful at the moment because of a bed for the night. It's our first one as a church. Loads of, what's going to happen? Is it all going to go wrong? We're never going to manage it. How are we going to organize it? And it can all flood in and totally paralyze you, can't it? Face your fears, say them out loud, and tell yourself, I don't have to be terrified. Why don't we have to be terrified? Because God will go ahead of us and will fight for us. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. That's why we don't have to be terrified. Because we know that as we make our way through 2019, even if you think it's going to be a horrible year, I mean, you wonder what you're scared of. Maybe you've got money problems. Perhaps it's a job, you need a job, and it just seems impossible. Perhaps you've got relationship problems, big ones, and they just seem insurmountable. Perhaps you're dreading going back to school. Perhaps you have an awful boss at work. Perhaps you're stuck in a job and you're not earning enough, and it's all just getting too much. Visualize yourself going through 2019 like it's a journey, like you're walking. Look forwards. What are your giants? Who's waiting for you? And as you think about them and are worried that they might get you and attack you, remember and visualize God is walking before you. I'm so scared of my giants, but there's God. Boom! He's taken on my giants for me. I can't, but he can, and he's for me, and he's with me, and he'll give me the strength I need. That is the beautiful, wonderful privilege of being a Christian. We know that God is going to go ahead of us and fight our spiritual battles for us. We're in a different situation to the Israelites, aren't we? We're not in the old covenant. We're not inheriting the literal land like they were. But we still have spiritual enemies and spiritual battles to face. And God will be with us through them. He won't stop us going through them, but he will go ahead of us so that we can face our giants, our spiritual enemies. Be reassured by that. You can face 2019. You can have confidence. You can say you bring it on because God's going to go before you. And then finally, look back and see how God carried you. I love this verse. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. God's saying to them, when you panic and when life seems too much and you feel overwhelmed, just look back to a period in your life where it was like that and think, how did God help me then? How was he with me? That's a really good thing to do. So many times I've done that and it's helped me. I've woken up thinking, I've got so many things to achieve this week. I'm never going to get them done. And it's like God says to me, wait a minute, you felt like this before, haven't you? Oh yeah, I have. Did I help you then? You did. I got through that. I can get through today. Look back. And look how he describes, how God, what he reminds us of at the start of 2019. The Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. That's what we can find strength in. That God is our father. You know, when you become a Christian, that's another amazing privilege. What happens when someone becomes a Christian? Well, first of all, they repent. That means they turn away from the wrong things they've done. They acknowledge them before God. Say, I have done wrong. I have sinned. I have let you down. I have let myself down. I have let other people down. I am wrong a lot of the time. That's the first step. The second step is, God, please accept me despite all my failings. I believe that Jesus, you died for me. You took the punishment I deserve on yourself. I trust that you went through hell so I don't have to. That's the first step to becoming a Christian. But it doesn't stop there. God adopts us into his family when we become a Christian. He makes us his children. And so we can be sure that he's looking out for us. Are you a Christian? If you are, you have that reassurance. God's for you in your difficulties. I remember when I was a child, maybe about 6 or 7, my friend invited me to his party. It was a swimming pool party. So Dunstable Leisure Centre had the big pool with the diving thing at the end and then the small pool, which I was very pleased about because it's a lot warmer than the other one. If you think I'm skinny now, I was very skinny when I was 7 years old. So the small pool, full of inflatables and stuff, it was brilliant. And bizarrely, I'm sure this wouldn't be allowed nowadays with health and safety, the lifeguards unfurled the like fire hoses, and were blasting us with the fire hoses. I'm sure that wouldn't be allowed. But it was really fun, because freezing cold water, and we're diving in to escape them, and I kind of awkwardly dived in, and sort of lost my balance and kind of tumbled, and just couldn't get my bearings, and stayed underwater. And I remember clearly everything going black, and this kind of icy hand of panic grabbing my heart, thinking, I think I'm going to drown. And then suddenly, this massive strong arm just dragged me up and clutched me to himself. And I was astonished because it was my dad. And the reason I was astonished was because he was in the gallery, like, and it was a massive long sort of walk and down the stairs and round, but he was watching me when no one else was, and he had seen, probably anticipated, what was going to happen, and he was there, and he picked me out of the water and carried me, and that gave me such confidence. My dad is looking out for me, and your spiritual dad is looking out for you in the same way. But he can see so much more than my dad. And his arm is so much more muscular than my dad's. And he will pick you up and carry you when needs be in 2019, as he has done before. And he won't fail. And he won't get tired. And he won't nod off and fall asleep. I heard this horrendous story. It was an article I was reading about the effect mobile phones and smartphones are having on us as parents. And the writer was saying how her sort of newborn, or toddler, I think it was, she was upstairs with the toddler, and she was kind of just scrolling through the phone, and suddenly she had this bang, bum, 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 bum. And her toddler had fallen downstairs, and she was just looking at her phone. And it was a real wake-up call, because she said, I was just scrolling through some nonsense on social media, and my toddler was in danger. But God will not lose his attention. God will not get distracted. He is on you all the time, because he loves you. And he will strengthen you, and he will carry you. And that's how we can have confidence, individually and as a church. He's looking at this church too, and he knows that he's going to be with it for the future. So be reassured of that, Argyle. Be reassured of that, Phil and Carolina. He's going to help you in your ministry too, whatever that holds. Be reassured of it, all of you who are visitors supporting Phil and Carolina here today. You can have the confidence to say to 2019, bring it on, I'm ready, God's with me.